Hey, good morning, everybody. It is good to be with you this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, we are going to be back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to finish today. We're going to finish verses 10 through 15, which has been this great series of talking about giving. And I just want to be honest with you, like, as I was preparing for this and before I started talking about what Pastor Chris reviewed last week, man, I wanted to take a minute as we're studying verses that talk about the church's generosity, that talks about thanksgiving to God. I want to take a minute to tell you guys, man, thank you. Thank you. I know most of you probably haven't thought about it, but it has come to my mind recently. Like, in 1 month from today, man, I will have been with you guys for 5 years. It's going to be my five-year anniversary of getting to bring God's Word to you. And, man, I'm telling you, the time has flown. Like, it has gone by really, really quickly. And the truth is I get this opportunity to preach. Like, man, I'm really thankful for you guys. Like, at the time I've been in this role, I recognize some things. Like, what I recognize is when I get the opportunity to come up here and preach, man, I'm not Chris Winkleman. Like, the truth is, man, I can't deliver the Word like our pastor Chris does, man. He is a great expositor of the Word. I'm not going to put myself in anywhere close to that kind of category. But with that, it gives the opportunity to talk about this idea of the kindness that you guys have done. Because I've learned a lot. Man, I've learned a lot, and I still have a lot to learn about how to be a pastor. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, man, I worked 26 years in corrections, and I'm going to be honest. Like, 26 years in corrections taught me a lot. It taught me a lot. It prepared me for a lot of things. Didn't really prepare me for life as a pastor. Like, that was not one of the things it prepared me for. But the truth is, man, you guys have. You guys have. So, again, I just want to say thank you. The truth is, man, you've been great encouragers. Man, a lot of you have been great friends. A lot of you have been willing to keep your yes on the table. Man, some of you have been really good at constructive criticism. And I mean that in the greatest way. Like I'll be honest, like, sometimes we need that. Like, we need people that we trust, that we know that have our best interests in mind, that can tell us things. Like, one time I had a person, when I got done preaching, tell me, man, you owe me 15 minutes. And I was like, oh, man, yeah, I think he's right. Like, I probably owe him a little bit more than 15 minutes. But the beauty in that was this. Man, like, it brought to light this idea that man, try to work on some of this. Try to work on these things that will keep people's attention for that while. So, man, I'm just telling you, all those things, your friendship, your encouragement, the constructive criticism has been more helpful than you guys will ever know. And I want to tell you thank you. Thank you. It's not often I get up here with this opportunity to do that. So I want to tell you thank you for that. But over the past month, man, Pastor Chris has done a great job of telling us about what a good job FBC has been doing in giving. Like, each week as we've talked about giving, and that's not a subject that is easy for a pastor to get up and talk about. He's talked about, man, you've done a good job, First Baptist. You are doing great in that. And I also want to tell you, man, you guys are doing a good job on loving your pastors and your staff well. And you need to hear that from time to time. So today, we're going to end up a two-chapter section in 2 Corinthians, which deals with general principles in giving regularly. And the truth is how giving is a way to show God's grace. It's a fruit of God's grace. And last week, Pastor Chris reminded us that God is not after the Corinthians' money. What he was after was he was after their hearts. And Paul doesn't need to beg them. What he begs them for is he begs them to come to Jesus, not for their money. He wants them to come and know Jesus as Lord and Savior and to use the resources that God has given them in a God-honoring way. And last week, he used this symbolism of reap sparingly, or sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow bountifully, reap bountifully, right? And with that, he reminded us that our motivation for giving can't be to get more. Like, that is not why we give. We don't give to get more. He reminded us, man, God isn't mocked in that. Like, we don't give because we think God will multiply exact gifts that we give. That mocks him in a way. And we're reminded about three things when it comes to giving. First was to be committed, that our giving needs to be committed, free and glad. And by committed, he said we're to be disciplined and committed to giving. Giving is to be a priority for the members of the church. And our giving is to be free. We don't do it begrudgingly. We don't do it out of compulsion. And if that's how we're giving, man, we need to ask God to change our heart, because that is not how it should be. and we're to give gladly. God delights in a cheerful giver. And that is because there is nobody that is a more cheerful giver than the Lord. He gives us so much. And the truth is, man, if we look at our lives, oh, how he gives to us, doesn't he? How well he gives to us. Man, he makes grace abound in our lives. He gives us everything that we have. And the truth is, last week Pastor Chris reminded us, God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. And when we bless others, it's God who gets the credit for the good work, not us. And in application, Pastor Chris asked us, man, how are we using God's gifts? How are we using the gifts that God has given us? Are we using them for his purpose, to do good for those around us? Are we using his gifts to give him all glory? Because his glory is what it is all about. So if you have your copy of God's word, like I said, we're going to be in verses 10 through 15. And what verses 10 through 15 say is, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of the service is not only fully supporting the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through the many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. And verse 15 sums everything up. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And if you'd bow your heads, we will pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for what we've learned in your word over the past month when it comes to giving. God, I pray your words have encouraged our hearts to be generous. Thank you how you remind us that giving is the fruit of your grace. Lord, give us eyes to see the needs and the hearts that act. So much thanksgiving is given to you. Amen. So as we start looking at these, we have verse 10. And in verse 10, the first thing we see is God is the supplier of the seed and the bread. And what Paul is trying to remind them is the opposite of what the enemy tries to remind us of. The enemy tries to tell us that as we give, we'll have less. But what he's telling us is this, man, generous in giving is not going to leave you destitute. You will not be without. Chapter 55, verse 10 tells us, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. That is what he's come about, is to talk about the gifts come from heaven, that he will be the one that supplies. And Paul is telling the Corinthians, man, your ability to help other people, that's not based on you. I am the one that is going to supply what you have to be able to give and to be able to help. And he's reminding them that I'm going to continue to supply these generous givers so they can continue to give. And the truth is, this hasn't changed. Like last week, Pastor Chris talked about this idea that God is a giver and he gives us everything we have. And he does it with a purpose. And the purpose isn't so that we're going to be rich and comfortable, right? That's not his purpose. His purpose isn't just for us to be happy. What he does is he supplies for us because, man, there are things he has called us to do, things that he wants us to use our resources for. And he blesses us to be a blessing to others. And that brings glory to God. Verse 10, he also talks about increasing the harvest of your righteousness. And when he's talking, what do you think he means when he talks about increasing the harvest of your righteousness? What I want us to remember is to get this in the right order of things, because one thing he isn't talking about, he's not talking about your positional righteousness. Positionally, you are as righteous as you are ever going to be when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are 100% righteous, not on your acts, not on what you have done, but what God has done through Christ to make you that way. And that is how God sees us. So if he's not talking about positional righteousness, man, he is talking to the Corinthians about the rewards that's going to come to the believers. There's rewards that are going to come to them. And the rewards are going to come because they're not relying on their own strength. What they're relying on is the power of the Spirit to bear fruit that rewards. Like, man, they will do things that are going to bring rewards to them. And Paul, again, is using this agricultural. Last week, Pastor Chris talked about how the sowing and reaping was this agricultural language. And he's using that same kind of language to reinforce this idea that being generous pays. It pays to be generous. It may not pay in the way the world wants us to think it is going to pay, but it pays in so much greater ways. And he's telling the Corinthians and us, and I'll supply and I'll multiply all the resources that you need to reap a harvest of good deeds. And in verse 11, Paul tells him, you will be. He tells him, you will be. He's reminding the Corinthians that they are being continually enriched by this provision of God. And God has already provided them with the resources before they were even aware of the need that was in Jerusalem. God had already provided beforehand. And they were enriched so they could be generous when the need came. Generous when the need comes. J.C. Ryle, who is a guy that I think Luke has been doing a study on with some of these younger guys, that is from a while back. And J.C. Ryle had this great quote of saying, a giving Savior should have giving disciples. Man, our Savior that gives so much, that is the greatest giver that there is, knowing him should generate a difference in us that makes us want to be generous with what we have and in the way they were. And not only are they enriched, but they're enriched for all liberality. What he's done is he's telling them, don't be self-seeking. The call is not for you to be self-seeking. They were called to have open hearts, which then led to an open bank account, right? Their heart would lead them to give. And this isn't a new word. Like Paul used this word earlier in the chapter, in chapter 8, when he was talking about the Macedonians, who were giving beyond what was reasonable, even in their poverty. He calls it this idea of liberality because of the grace of God. That because of the grace of God, they were able to give beyond what anybody in their circumstances should have been able to do. And that's what they did. And the same is going to be true for this wealthy church in Corinth. Their hearts were open to giving, not because they were good people, but because of the grace of God. God had opened their hearts to that. And the reason the giving is happening, whether in Macedonia or in Corinth, is to give glory to God. And that's why we should give, because God has moved our hearts to give. And the truth is, the more people who are touched by your giving, the more thanks that is given to God. The church in Jerusalem will be grateful. They're going to be grateful to Paul and to the other givers. But they knew the truth was that the acknowledgement and the gratitude didn't need to go to Paul, who was going to deliver the gift. It needed to go to God, who had been the provider of the gift. And in verse 12, we see some things that are going to happen. And in verses 10 through 15, we see these four great benefits that come from giving. And in verse 12, we see two of them. Number one, they're going to be able to supply the needs of the saints, right? In verse 12, we see that. And God enriches us so we can enrich others. Paul says, this is part of the ministry of service. And one thing we need to see there is like this Greek word that they use for service is the word we get liturgy from in our language. And what a liturgy is a form of public worship. So this service is a form of public worship. And this gift is going to meet the needs of the church in Jerusalem, and it's going to fully meet the needs. So what we know is, man, this is a large gift that he has given that is going to meet, because it is going to meet all the needs of the brothers and sisters in the church in Jerusalem. And the second thing we see is this idea, and the fruit produced by this gift is not praise to men, but thanksgiving to God. And this is Paul's second use of the phrase thanksgiving to God. And as Pastor Chris says, when a word or phrase is repeated, we need to pay attention to it, right? And we see that in this phrase is the emphasis and the ultimate goal of giving, to give thanks and to give praise to God. That is why we give. And we have to ask ourselves then, is that the goal of our giving? Is that why we give? So God can receive praise? So God can receive thanksgiving? Man, that is what he is supposed to do. He's supposed to receive all that. In the ESV Study Bible, it says, this collection is an integral part of the ministry of the gospel and an act of public worship, which causes others to offer thanksgiving to God as they see the works of God's grace in the lives of the Corinthians believers. And in verse 13, we read another of the benefits that would come from this gift. The third benefit is going to be, it's evidence of God's work in the Corinthian church. All right? And it starts with the word because. And usually when we think of the word because, we think it's attached to the statement that came before. But really this time it's not. Because it's not explaining the previous verse. What it's explaining is why the church in Jerusalem is going to glorify God. And they're going to glorify God because he's going to be glorified by the proof of this ministry that the Corinthian church has. And Paul is saying that the generous gift of the saints is clear evidence of their confession of the gospel of Christ. So what are they confessing? And what is their confession? They're confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, aren't they? They're confessing him as Lord. And not only is he Lord of their lives, he is Lord of everything. Everything they have, including their money. And the truth is this. Pastor Chris talked about this a little bit last week. The church in Jerusalem is full of Jews that have had the Jewish Christians, right? And the truth is, in the world back then, the Jewish Christians were a little questioning of the Gentile Christians, right? Like, they had lived a long time hearing how they were God's chosen people, right? So they still kind of respected that, kind of heard that enough that it really was ingrained in their life. And now they're going to get this gift. They're going to get this gift from them. And it throws them. Like, they're suspicious. They're especially suspicious of the believers in Corinth, aren't they? And do you think that's well-founded? Do you think they have any reason to be suspicious of the believers in Corinth? Have you read 1 Corinthians? Read 1 Corinthians and you're going to see why they're a little suspicious about what they are. Like, as we read the letter of 1 Corinthians, we see Paul addressing a lot of sin that is in the life of the Corinthian church, doesn't he? So, having this pious feeling of we are better than, knowing that they're dealing with a church that has had some sin issues, man, they're super suspicious about what they are hearing. And what will happen when the church in Jerusalem receives this gift from the Gentile believers? What's going to happen when this gift comes? Matthew 5:16 tells us, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And let your light shine. And that's what the church in Corinth is going to do. They're going to let their light shine in such a way that they're going to see what they've done. They're going to see the good work they've done because they are going to give a gift that is going to more than fully cover the needs of the brothers and sisters. And is the glory going to that church or is the glory going to go to God? God is the one that is going to get the glory from it. And last Sunday night, if you were here for the preaching lab, man, we preached out of Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And what we talked about that night was how some people are going to be drawn to Jesus by signs and wonders that were done at the apostles' hands. And we talk about that's a theme you see over and over in Acts. Like, sign and wonders happen. People get drawn in. They want to know more about Jesus. They get to hear the word. Many came to believe in Jesus at that time. What else I want to tell you is this. Man, for some people, they're going to be drawn to Jesus when they see the love that is evident through generous giving. Some it may be signs and wonders. Some may be drawn to Jesus because they see generous givers and they can't figure out why they are doing what they are doing. And our generous giving and thanksgiving to God is proof of the genuineness of our salvation. That if we can give thanks, it shows who we are. And the truth is, this gift hasn't happened yet. Like, as Paul writes this, look at his wording. Because of the proof of the missed ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and all. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. You do realize that we've been talking about this. Paul is still talking about collecting the gift, isn't he? He has talked about, man, don't let us show up and the gift not be ready. But when he writes these verses, man, he is talking about what is going to happen when this gift happens. And the truth is, that isn't Paul talking at that point. That is the Holy Spirit that has led him in writing the word. This is the word of God to let him know this is what is going to happen when this offering reaches the family that's in Jerusalem, the church family there. And in verse 14, we read, "While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you." And this is the fourth great benefit that we get to see come from these verses. It would prompt the saints to pray for the church in Corinth. Church in Jerusalem is now going to pray for this church in Corinth. And that's their way of saying thank you. That is how they're going to thank them for this gift. They're going to thank them by praying for them. Because what they're going to recognize is this, is God is at work in them, and they long for fellowship with them and to pray for them. As they saw God working, it did something in their heart, right? Their suspicion goes away. Now it's about longing for them. Yearning is the word that he uses. A strong urge to be with them. And while they can't be with them, what do they want to do? They want to pray for them. And I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know who you are praying with, who in your life you have, who is in that inner circle that, man, you trust your darkest needs to, the things you need the most help with. But I'm going to tell you, when you have some brothers and sisters in Christ that you pray with, that they pray for you, you pray for them, let me ask you this, does that do something to your heart? Does that change your heart for that person? Oh, man, I'm telling you, I got some brothers that there has been some times in my life that the only help they could offer me was prayer. But you know what they did? They prayed, and I knew I could go to those brothers. And the truth is, man, my heart is knitted to their heart because of that. Like, man, it opens up this feeling of that, like, man, mutual prayer. And that's really the stuff of unity, isn't it? Like, it bonds us together. And I want us to do that. Like, man, who knows what's going on in your life? Who is praying with you? Who are you sharing with? Who are you praying for? And how often when we get that opportunity, man, I'm telling you, one of the things that I've tried to work on over time is this. As somebody says, hey, can you pray about? My first thing is, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. Let's not let it get past. Let's take care of it in this moment because I want that to happen. I want us to bond together and love each other in the way that we see here. And the truth is, when you reach out to somebody and they provide for you, or they really help you, however that may look, and they become your friends, don't they? And they become your friends. And the truth is, when somebody's your friend, man, you pray for them because of your great love for them, don't you? We pray because we love them so much. And this is part of the return of the Corinthians' generous gift. They're going to get friends who pray. Friends who pray for them. Friends who yearn to be with them. And Paul also writes about the surpassing grace of God that is in you. Like, it'd be obvious to the church in Jerusalem that only God would be the source of such a radical heart change in this church that we talked about that was in the church in 1 Corinthians. This church that was full of sin, all of a sudden we see a radical heart change that they're willing to provide for people that they don't know, that they haven't met because they love them. Can we do that on their own? No, it's only through the mighty work of God that transforms hearts. And the Spirit of grace was supernaturally abounding in the saints of Corinth. And in the past month, and this isn't the only place we saw God's grace abound. As we talked about earlier, if you go to chapter 8 and read about the church in Macedonia, man, it was God's grace is the word that Paul uses. It was God's grace that enabled the church in Macedonia to give in joy and give beyond their ability. God's grace provided those things. And today we see it again in a rich church. In a rich church, it was God's grace that caused the Corinthians to give. And then we get to verse 15. And Paul closes the chapter in this section on giving, which we have talked about for weeks and weeks of this gift that is going to come. And he reminds them with the greatest reminder of all. He thanks God for his indescribable gift. And if you're a believer, and it doesn't take us long to remember who that indescribable gift is it? Man, it is Jesus Christ. And in John 3, verses 16 to 17, which is verses we know really, really well, right? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Man, that is a gift. That is a gift. God not only gave his Son, he gave all that's associated with his Son. And the truth is, man, Paul is right when he writes this. When he writes verse 15 and he says, "Thank you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Man, God's gift is so big. Man, it is so great. It is so glorious. The truth is, we really can't describe it in words, can we? And that is what Paul is reminding us. And Paul ends this section by telling us, remember, and if you receive the indescribable gift of Jesus Christ, what are we to be? We're to be thankful, aren't we? Man, if he is your Lord and Savior, you are to be thankful for the indescribable gift that he has given us. And the truth is, when we think about that gift, it should fill our hearts with gratitude. And that gratitude should inspire us to be generous givers as we move forward. So that covers the verses. So for application, a couple of things to think about. Number one, is our giving bringing glory and thanksgiving to God? And that's what we've been reading about. That's what we've been studying about for weeks and weeks, right? We've been reading about this gift that was coming to the church in Jerusalem, to some people who desperately needed help. And they were going to meet the real needs of brothers and sisters in Christ. But the greatest thing that was going to happen was not the needs being met, which is good, man. We need to meet needs. But that wasn't the greatest thing that was going to happen. It was that all the glory was going to come to God from it. He would receive all glory. And not only will he receive glory, he's going to receive thanksgiving for this gift. Glory and thanksgiving are going to come to God. And the truth is, we need to remember, it's God who moves our hearts to give. As we sit here as First Baptists, as Pastor Chris has told you for weeks and weeks, what a good job we are doing is giving. Man, don't get boastful in that. Don't get prideful in that. Think heavily about, man, it is God who is doing the great works. And the truth is, as this Thanksgiving comes along, I also want us to think about this idea of, man, that was going to be a blessing to those people that were going to be there, wasn't it? They were in desperate need. But not even everybody was going to be in desperate need, were they? But do you think that was going to say something to the people that weren't in desperate need? That when they see this gift come from far away, from people that didn't know these people super, super well, they only knew Paul that was the intermediary between them, do you think that was going to have an effect on them? Man, I promise you it was going to. Man, they would see the needs of their brothers and sisters being met, and you know what they were going to do? Man, they were going to thank God. Aren't you thankful when you see something happening to your brother or sister that needs help? Do you go to God and say, thank you so much, Lord, for answering these prayers? That's what they were going to do. They may not have been the direct recipients, but they were going to be thankful for what he was going to do. And the truth is this, like, when we opt out of giving, that's not important to us. The thing we need to understand is, man, we opt out of the privilege of meeting others' needs, don't we? Like, we get a privilege of that. The Lord has blessed us in different ways and in different things. But the truth is, if we say they're not going to give, man, we're missing out on meeting needs, aren't we? And some of them may be in this church. Some of them may be outside this church. But we want to meet those needs. But not only do we opt out of meeting needs, man, we also bypass this option and deny ourselves the honor of promoting God's glory. Like, as we give, we get an opportunity to give. And we don't want the glory to go to us. Man, we want that glory to go to God. We want people to get these needs met. And their reply is, thank you, God, for answering my prayers. Man, how you have provided for us. And when we give, the product of it should be God is praised and God needs to be thanked. We need to thank him. So that's number one, is your giving bringing glory and thanksgiving to God. Number two, talked about it in these verses earlier, giving is genuine proof of your salvation. Right? So how do we know when somebody's saved? How do you know when they're saved? Is it by what they say or by what they do? It's both, isn't it? It's both, because we have to profess Jesus Christ as Lord with our mouth and believe in our heart. That is how we are saved. But the truth is, we know our actions play a part in this too. Like James in his book says, man, don't be hearers of the word. What are we to be? Doers of the word, aren't we? Right? And he says, and faith with no works is what? Dead. Dead, right? And Jesus tells us, if you love me, you keep my commands. So we see action involved. Not only do we voice out our belief, not only do we believe in our heart, but we go to work, don't we? We do things that prove. Paul Barnett says, good works are the confirmation of your salvation, but they're not the basis. Like, this confirms that this is what we do. We do it to bring honor and glory to God. And the truth is, we have talked for weeks and weeks about this idea of giving money, right? Giving money to the church. But I'm going to tell you, it's also about the kindness of genuine acts of love in our life. And there's a lot of opportunities for us to do that. Man, are we looking for ways to be generous to our church, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the world around us? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some examples. Like work in the community garden. How many of you are aware we have a community garden here at First Baptist Church? Man, it's an awesome thing. I am telling you, it is an awesome thing. I'm going to also tell you, man, that is hard work. That is hard work. And I say this to myself, man. The truth is, we have this garden that it provides so much to so many people in this community that I'm telling you, when they get those things, they are thanking God for them. But I'm telling you, it is hard work. And there are a few guys that are doing it. A few guys are doing it because it's hard, it's hot, it's not convenient, and it's not easy. But man, do blessings come from that? They come and we're able to meet needs in our town. Man, we have a pregnancy resource center, right? You guys are aware of the pregnancy resource center, right? Man, it's a great thing. Like, man, and I can tell you, they can always use diapers. They can always use clothes. They can use a lot of materials. They could use money. But you know what they really need? Because I've had an opportunity to talk to the people that are involved with it. Man, they need you. They need you to be involved with that ministry. And if you got a Friday that you can do that, I don't know if it's one Friday. I don't know if it's one Friday a month. I don't know for sure what that looks like. But they need you because you know what they are? Man, they are the hands and feet of Christ to hurting and struggling people that walk through those doors of this church every Friday morning to get help for our family. And they get an opportunity to meet with them, to pray with them, to live life with them. Man, that's meeting needs, isn't it? It's meeting needs. Man, how thankful are we for the families at this church that, man, have adopted kids, that have taken on foster care. And some of them have just opened up their homes to kids in our community that needed help. Man, how thankful are we for those people? You know, they open their doors. Man, they love people. They protect them. And they get to show them Jesus, don't they? They get to do that. They get to show them Jesus. How can we love those people? Man, can we love them by giving them money? Yeah, that may be how we help. That may be how we help. Maybe, importantly, it may be our time. It may be our time because I'm telling you, it is a tough job. And what they may need for you to do is they may need for you to listen to them on a hard day. They may need you to pray with them as they are going through a struggle that may be hard, harder than most of us probably can imagine. But they're doing the good work of Jesus, right? Or maybe they need you there to celebrate with them on the day that it is a really good day, when something incredible happens, when a work of God happens, and they're able to see that. Maybe they need you involved to be able to do that. Maybe they need days where, man, we just offer up our homes to them and we say, man, we realize what you're doing is hard. It is tough. And man, you need a break. Man, why don't you bring them by for an hour? Why don't you bring them by for a couple hours? Is there something I can do to give you a little bit of a break of that? Man, is that meeting a need? Is that loving our brothers and sisters in Christ? Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's like getting involved with Men on Missions. Maybe it's getting involved with Grief Share. We got these two great ministries that I am telling you. Help people in some of their hardest times when disasters hit them. Whether it's through the loss of property, whether it's through the loss of lives. Those are ministries that are meeting people, and we need to be involved with that. Man, how about mission trips? Like, and we've got a group that just came back. I hope you get an opportunity to talk to all of them that went on this mission trip. And why do they go? And they go to love and care for our people that God has called out to a lost and dying world. To bring life to them, maybe for a short season, but to bring life, to let them know, man, we care about you. Man, to encourage and bless them. And not only them, man, like there's this great byproduct that comes from it. It's something that maybe we see here, like as the church in Jerusalem is amazed by these gifts, What do you think about our brothers and sisters across the world when they see our people coming with no specific reason other than to love you and to talk to you about Jesus? What does that do to their heart? Do you think they give thanksgiving to the Lord for that? Do you think they see that as generous giving? I'm telling you, I've seen people talk about how it blows their mind that we have shown up for no other reason than just to care for our people. And I want to remind you, man, that is not easy. And I'm telling you, the travel is horrendous. Like, I'm thankful for these young guys that can do it. Man, as an older guy, I'm telling you, man, it is a wreck. Like, I'm weeks after one of those trips before I'm right. Like, it is hard. Physically, it is a hard thing to do. And I'm going to tell you, as First Baptist Church, man, you guys do a great job of giving money, right? We do. And I get a budget to help with that, right? To help with these kind of things. But I only get a certain amount of a budget to be able to help with them. And I'm telling you, these people are going and doing and being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ around the world. And they're also giving their money to be able to do this. Like, not only are they going and doing, it comes at a financial cost to them too. But they do it graciously and they do it joyfully and they do it gladly because they know God is going to get honored by it. God is going to get the glory and there's going to be thanksgiving. And we do these things because they're good, but we do them most importantly because God's grace has changed us, hasn't it? That is why we do those things. And the third thing we see is this. Man, have you received God's indescribable gift? Man, verse 15, oh, I'm telling you, is incredible. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Like, man, as we talk about memorizing scripture, it's a pretty easy one to memorize, isn't it? Man, how often do we need to be reminded of how grateful and how thankful we should be for God's indescribable gift? Man, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? We read John 3:16 and 17, and that's good news for the believer, isn't it? It's good news for the believer. John tells us about God's indescribable gift. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Man, if that is not good news and doesn't get you excited, we need to talk. Man, that should still get your heart pumped up and excited about our Lord and Savior. My question is, if it's not getting you pumped up about that, if that doesn't get you excited, is that how you see Jesus? Do you see Jesus as the indescribable gift? Man, how does that affect our heart? And I'm going to be honest with you, like this morning, as I was coming into work, getting ready to work on this sermon, man, I turned on my radio and I put on a song by Chris Tomlin called Indescribable. And on my way to work, I did nothing but cry as I listened to him talk about Jesus Christ, as he talked about God, as he talked about uncontainable, all-powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees proclaiming him, amazing, the Savior who knows the depths of my heart and loves me the same. Man, that's an indescribable gift. And that's what our heart is called to. That is the Jesus. This is this indescribable gift. Jesus is the only one who can save, and all you need is found in him. Forgiveness, faith, security, adoption into God's family, eternal life. And it's only found in him. And what a gift. What a gift that is. But the truth is this. Man, a gift doesn't become ours until we receive it, right? And that gift is out there for everyone. But there are so many that haven't received that yet. Haven't received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that's my question for you today. Man, have you received Jesus? Have you responded to God's indescribable gift? Man, what's the point in a gift you never received? But today could be that day. Today can be the day that you receive the gift of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm going to pray. Want to remind you guys, man, we're going to sing and we're going to give. Man, if today's the day, what I want to tell you is this. Man, Satan is going to come to try and take that away from me, right? He's going to try to say, oh, it's not the normal way. It's not this normal time to come and receive and to do that. I'm telling you, as we sing, if you have made a decision that you want to follow Jesus Christ, man, if you've made a decision that, man, I want to be baptized, if you made a decision that I want to become a member of this church, man, do not walk away from here today without doing that. Do that. Man, I'm here. Nolan's here. Man, we would love to talk to you if you have any questions about any of that. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship the Lord in song. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just come to you today. Man, thankful for this word. Man, thankful for your reminders that as, man, we have talked about generous giving over and over, Lord, to see that, man, our giving does have an effect. It has an effect on this world, and the effect that it is supposed to be is it's supposed to bring eyes to you, God. It is supposed to give you all glory and all honor. And Lord, man, let our hearts just be so grateful this morning if we know your son, Jesus Christ, to know, man, he is the indescribable gift, Lord. Lord, that you sent your son so that we could have life. And we just give all praise in his name.